Tesla stock has gone through a difficult time this year, and we can tell by the relative performance of Tesla stock against the S&P 500 and the QQQ. For example, if we look at the S&P 500, this year has been great. We are in a continual bull market. The S&P 500 currently is up around 9% year to date, 8.82%. So we're just cruising upwards. The QQQ is up 9.16%. So not too much better than the S&P 500, but around the same. Both of them are up around 9 to 10%. So we look at that, and the market's in a bull market, but one of the top stocks, one of the biggest ones in the market, is currently in a big bear market. We have Tesla, which year to date is now down a staggering 34%. Now, the way percentages work is going down, these percentages are more meaningful than going up. So going down 34% would take around a 50% increase just to get back to where it was. That is a substantial decline in stock price, chopping off a third of the market cap. If we look at the actual performance of Tesla and we compare it against the rest of the market right now, and I'm not making this up, I'll show you the data itself. Tesla is currently the worst performing stock year to date in all of the S&P 500. All 500 companies, this one is doing the worst so far this year. If we switch over to the NASDAQ and we look at how Tesla is performing in the NASDAQ, it is also the worst performing stock in the NASDAQ. So across basically the entire market, Tesla's the worst performing this year. Tesla has actually underperformed Boeing. Boeing year to date, which Boeing has had literal doors fall off of flights. They're under investigation. Everything has gone wrong with Boeing that can go wrong, and yet the stock is still holding up better than Tesla's stock. So what gives? What is going on with Tesla right now? Now, another thing that's somewhat interesting about Tesla is not only is it this incredible stock, this incredible story, it has people attached to it like Elon Musk, but it's always continually followed by retail investors. There is a social media apparatus around Tesla that's unlike any other stock. There's massive Twitter accounts like Ross Gerber, Gary Black. You have Elon Musk himself, of course, the CEO of Tesla. And then you also have people like Cathie Wood, right? All of these get a lot of exposure. Then in the YouTube sphere, you have people like Meet Kevin. You have channels that make almost exclusively Tesla videos like Solving the Money Problem. You have Financial Education and Jeremy, they're making Tesla videos. So there's all these social media figures with huge reach. All of them have big followings making updates and analysis and videos on Tesla constantly. That feeds into people's feeds and it draws more attention, more retail investors' eyes to Tesla. Another way that I know that Tesla is one of the most followed stocks in the market by most investors is because I run an analysis website myself, Qualtrum.com. This is a stock analysis tool that gives you the fundamentals and breakdowns of every company. When I look at Qualtrum, we can look over the past year, and I'll show you a little bit of inside baseball here. These are some of the metrics. It got around 4 million different page hits last year, just from people that are users of the app. So right now, there's around 6,000 members of it, around 4 million visits last year, and the number 14 most popular search term in Qualtrum is Tesla. And again, this is a group of people that mostly follow my channel. I don't invest in Tesla. I don't make frequent videos around Tesla. But even so, even though I don't talk about Tesla myself, it's still one of the most searched stocks in my own community. It outranks Costco and Texas Roadhouse, two stocks that I talk about constantly. So Tesla has this huge draw by people. People are interested in Tesla. And that's why I feel obligated, even though I don't invest in the company, to come in once in a while and share an opinion on the subject, to share my thoughts on the ongoing developments of Tesla. I did this around a year ago. It was with a video called Why I'm Not Buying Tesla Stock. That was December 29th, 2022. In the video, I explained that I'm not investing in Tesla stock because I viewed it more of a car company than a tech company. Now, a year has passed. We've had some developments happen since then. And I think it's time to give an updated opinion on Tesla, seeing how it continues to be one of the most popular stocks in the market. Now, the first point I want to highlight is something that I think is important. I feel like part of the reason that so many investors are drawn to Tesla is because of how interesting the stock is. It's just an interesting company. And I agree. I think it's complex, nuanced. There's many different parts and aspects to it. You can do these big analysis of the future of full self-driving and robo-taxi and artificial intelligence. It draws a lot of attention because of how interesting and dynamic the stock is. Then layered upon the stock itself is the fact that you have the most eccentric, interesting leader on top of that, which is Elon Musk. He is like a just black hole of attention, drawing in attention everywhere he goes. So I feel like part of the reason that investors are so interested in Tesla itself is because of how interesting and dynamic the stock is. But when it comes to investing, I feel it's important to highlight that interesting is not part of the equation. In fact, you get no extra points, no extra credit, as Warren Buffett says, for investing in difficult or complex situations. It doesn't matter how interesting a stock is. It doesn't matter how complex the story is. You only make money when the company grows its cash flow over time. And in many cases, in fact, I would argue, in most cases, the most reliable cash flow growing companies in the market are incredibly mundane, stodgy, boring companies. So you have this contrast, the most interesting dynamic company in the market being Tesla, and then you have a lot of other companies that are growing cash flows, growing their earnings power, that are incredibly mundane and boring, not companies that are interesting to talk about. I can highlight many of these in my portfolio. For example, if we just take a look through the portfolio here, one of the most boring companies in existence, known for the fact that it does almost no innovation, it doesn't really change anything over time, is Costco. If we look at Costco here, just take a look at this one, if I can zoom in correctly. Costco's a boring company that's up 250% over the past 5 years. The company pays out massive dividends by doing the same thing in and out. And of course, this one has been a huge market-beating position. It's a huge compounder, just continually growing. And it's boring. Nobody wants to make videos about Costco. Nobody wants to talk about the stock because I believe there's not much to update with it. The fact is, with Costco, not much changes quarter after quarter. Texas Roadhouse. Texas Roadhouse is literally a restaurant where you sit down, you order steaks, you get a bunch of sides, you get really yummy rolls, and it's in a nice atmosphere. That's the stock. There's no big overarching story of full self-driving. There's no artificial intelligence. You can talk about a few things they're doing, like the fact that they're doing some takeout ordering, but overall, it's a boring stock. It's not going to draw a lot of attention on X, on YouTube. There's not going to be content creators pouring over this stock. It has been a massive outperformer, a stock that has been incredibly consistent in compounding over time. In the financial category, there's another list of stocks that I believe are incredibly boring. You have S&P Global, MasterCard, Intuit, and Moody's. Can you name the CEO of any of these companies? Can you follow them on Twitter and see their spicy takes on the latest political issue? No, you can't. Most people have no clue what these companies even do. They're so boring. MasterCard and Visa, for example, just process payments. That's all they do. That's all they have been doing for 10 years. Yet the stock has consistently and reliably outperformed the S&P 500. It continues to trade at valuations much lower than many of the Mag 7 because this stock is not interesting. It's not intellectually stimulating. The same thing with the S&P Global. S&P Global is a great company. Doesn't draw any attention to itself. The same thing with Moody's. Most people have no clue that Moody's even exists. If you went and asked the average person, what is Moody's? What is that company? They'll have no clue. You'll have to explain what it is. Believe me, I've told people. So despite the fact that these companies have made investors incredibly rich who have invested in them, they get lost on investors because we are humans. We get drawn to whatever's put into our feeds, drawn into whatever people are talking about. So I would argue that one of the biggest reasons that Tesla continues to be talked about, continues to be invested in by retail investors, is simply because of our algorithms, our feeds, constantly feeding us Tesla news, Tesla updates, and Tesla content. I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but I'm just saying to be aware that that's the case. We have natural biases to be drawn to whatever gets the most attention, and this stock is attention-grabbing. Now, don't be mistaken. I'm not suggesting to avoid stocks because they're trending or because they're popular. I don't view that as a reason to avoid a stock at all. But I am suggesting to be aware of the bias. As humans, we're drawn to whatever is being talked about or trending online. That's what we consume in our feeds. And it is true that the more we see something, the more repeat exposure we have to it, like a stock like Tesla, the more chance we have of buying it. That's just simply the case, as we see it all the time in our feed, scrolling through Twitter, scrolling through YouTube, scrolling through every channel that you have. As you see more analysis and updates on it, it makes your brain think about it. And the more that you think about it, the more likely you are to start a position and buy into it. So when I look at it, I'm not suggesting to avoid any company because it's in your feed, but just be aware of that bias and look at stocks equally. I try to treat every stock with an equal look no matter what it is, whether it's Costco, Texas Roadhouse, Nvidia, or Tesla. It doesn't matter what the name is or how popular it is. I try to treat the analysis the exact same. Now, when we get into this next part, I'm going to say a dangerous word here, one that gets misinterpreted and misused all the time. That is the word of valuation. The reason that I've started to dislike the entire term valuation is because in many cases it's used in such a trite, reductive way where people use valuation and their just meaning is the PE ratio high or low. If it's a high PE ratio, it's a high valuation. If it's a low PE ratio, it's a low valuation. I don't ascribe to that. I don't believe that high PE ratio means high valuation. Valuation means the future expectations, the long-term expectations of the stock and what's currently priced into it. So if we look at a company like Tesla, there's many people that believe in the long-term future of this stock, and they're willing to pay a big price today because of the very high expectations they have of the future. What I'd like to do in terms of the valuation of Tesla is just highlight what is expected of the company and how high these expectations are. I think it's important for people to see truly how high the expectations for Tesla are. Let's go ahead and just do a couple comparisons. If we look at Tesla here, we can look at the PE ratio, which again, I don't believe that you should just judge a company based on whether or not the PE ratio is high or low. Tesla's PE ratio is at a 54. So that's not really problematic in and of itself. But then we pair that with the free cash flow of the company. The free cash flow is the cash flow from operations, which is like how much money the company makes after paying for operational costs and their cost of goods. And you subtract out the capital expenditures, which Tesla does have a lot of CapEx, being that it's a CapEx-heavy business building and shipping cars. So you have a company that has a very low amount of free cash flow over the past year based on the size of the market cap. Keep in mind, right now, Tesla has a market cap of over $500 billion. So $540 billion. And the amount of free cash flow it generated in 2023, the entire year, was $4.36 billion. So if you do the math there, we look at this on a free cash flow basis, 4.36 divided by the 539 billion, you have a free cash flow yield of 0.77. Now, just to put this in context, to break this down, that means that if you put $100 into Tesla stock last year, they returned 70 cents. So $100 returned 70 cents in cash flow. Now, you could have put that money in a savings account, FDIC insured with zero risk, and gotten back $5 because interest rates are 5%. So that's the premium you're paying to invest in Tesla. That's how much more expensive the stock is today than the risk-free rate. So you have quite a premium there, a company returning 0.77% back on $100. Now, if we look at this and we compare it to other companies that are even trading at a premium, we can compare it again to companies like Costco. Costco's an expensive stock. The PE ratio is a little lower, but Costco has a free cash flow yield of 1.9%. Costco did around $7 billion in free cash flow last year, and the market cap is around $200 billion smaller at 325. So this 2% free cash flow yield that Costco has is much higher than Tesla's right now. You're getting back almost $2 for every share you bought in 2023. Now, that's better than 77 cents. And Costco also paid out a $15 dividend per share. So if you tack that on, you actually got back almost another entire dollar. You got back like $3 in 2023. So even Costco, based on the trailing 12-month cash flows, is much cheaper than Tesla. It's around half as expensive. We can look at Visa. Visa is a company that has around the same market cap as Tesla. So Visa is at $583 billion. Again, if we look at Tesla currently, it's at 539. So Visa is slightly bigger than Tesla. Now, Tesla did like $4.4 billion in free cash flow. Visa last year did $19.7 billion. So Visa did roughly five times the amount of cash flow that Tesla did while being roughly the same size of company. So based on the cash flows of 2023, Visa's trading around one-fourth of the cash flow of Tesla. And another thing I'll mention is Visa's cash flows are very resilient and consistent. It's not like it's a volatile cash flow where they had a one-off year. No, they're going to earn around $20 billion in free cash flow next year. So this is consistent cash flow generation. This isn't just a one-time thing. And of course, you can do the same thing with MasterCard. This is another company that retail investors really don't like. They're just not interested in it. But if you look at MasterCard's growing free cash flow, it's very consistent. It's just an upward to the right chart. It's not going to go down next year. It's going to be above $12 billion. But even in 2023, they generated $11.61 billion. So Tesla's free cash flow was right here, right above 4.3. And MasterCard is right here, over double the amount of free cash flow last year, while trading at a smaller market cap. We have other companies that I look at and cover from time to time. We have Netflix, for example. Netflix is trading at roughly half the market cap of Tesla, $264 billion. And last year, Netflix did $7 billion in free cash flow. So way over what Tesla did, trading at half the market cap. Now, I could continue on with this. And again, I promise you, my goal here is not to bash Tesla. I have nothing personal against it or the investors that invest in it. I have nothing wrong with that. The problem I see is that it's just a really big stock. It's a big stock, a $530 billion market cap that produces a little amount of cash flow. That's the disconnect here. Big stock, small amount of cash flow equates to a company that has very high expectations. Tesla needs to grow cash flows dramatically to prove its value, to really be worth the expectations implied in it. Now, there's nothing wrong with making a prediction that a company will have a rapid increase in free cash flow. I've done the very thing with Netflix and Amazon. These are both companies that I purchased when they had negative cash flows, both of them. So they're producing no cash flow, but I had a very strong thesis, a very firm belief that they would have exponential growth in free cash flow the following year. With Amazon, I still believe this is going to be a story that plays out this year, 2024. I've said that I think it's going to have explosive free cash flow. So if those don't work out, if they don't really grow explosive free cash flow, that's a failed bet. It's going to be an investment that turns out really poorly. So you have to be making the same bet with Tesla. Today's valuation based on its current cash flows is incredibly expensive, and the stock will continue to go down unless they can turn that lever and grow explosive free cash flow like Netflix has done and like Amazon has done. When I look at Tesla, I think there's a potential of them to be able to do that. They could possibly have explosive free cash flow growth. So I'm not saying it's out of the realm of possibility, but I think it's very tough. If we look at 2022 as being $7.5 billion in free cash flow, that was the highest that they've ever generated. That was during a time period where their operating margins were the highest they've ever been before. We can look at the operating margins of the company. In 2022, they were 16.76%. So that's around double where they are today. And even with 16.76% operating margins, so assuming it goes back up to that point, they generate around $7 billion in free cash flow, which is still expensive. That's as much as Netflix generated last year, and Netflix is at half the market cap. So they need to have their operating margins go up dramatically above what they've even been historically during the best time that Tesla's operated, when sales were booming in China, when they lacked meaningful competition. So I see them in a situation right now that's just difficult. They have to raise operating margins dramatically. They have to raise their free cash flow margins dramatically. And they have to do that in order to justify today's valuation. To get above today's valuation and be even bigger than a half a trillion dollar company, it needs to go up so much more. They need to quadruple the amount of free cash flow they're generating. Now, again, I'm not saying it's impossible. Maybe the cash flows really will quadruple or go up 4 or 5x in the next year or two. Maybe Elon Musk has some card up his sleeve or something works out dramatically well for him. It could happen, but I do think that it's complicated. It's a difficult story. It's like a complex story to get behind. And again, I want to highlight the point Warren Buffett has emphasized. You get no extra points for complexity in investing. You just make money when companies make money. And no matter how simple or complex the story is, the results are the same. So when I look at the story of Tesla and what needs to happen to justify today's valuation, to me, it just seems like there's very high expectations. And for me personally, I don't have the conviction anywhere close that I do of a company like Amazon or Netflix. Their business models are much more reliable. I think their operating margins are going up far more consistently. They're in an entire industry that I think is less competitive and less difficult than what Tesla's industry is in. Whether or not they're a tech company or a car company, they're competing by selling cars, and that's a difficult industry to be in. Even Elon Musk says how difficult this industry is. So my goal isn't to discourage you. If you're a Tesla investor and you believe in a very prosperous future of the company where they'll get to full self-driving and generate enormous amounts of free cash flow, that's fine. Stay invested in the stock. I'm not trying to talk you out of it. I'm just sharing my perspective that I have bets in my portfolio that I think are a little bit more predictable, and I think the valuation, or at least what's implied in the future of the stock, is less extreme than what's implied in Tesla. So I don't consider a bet, even now after falling 30%, that I think is attractive. There's other bets that I think are far more attractive from a risk-reward standpoint. So again, my goal is not to persuade you one way or another, but just to provide a different perspective. I try to jump in at least once a year and give my take on Tesla. So that's my take for 2024. I'll see you again with Tesla 2025.